Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Well, just one notice this lunchtime. Heather Jackman's asked me to say that there are some spare soup lunches and spare sandwich lunches today, so do feel free to stay behind and pick one of those up if you'd like. As we sit, let's bow our heads and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we thank you for it. We thank you that it's clear. We thank you that it is plain to us. We pray for understanding and pray for obedience to it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The invitation was made, the date agreed, the venue fixed. They would come to us for dinner. So on the night, the table was laid, the meat was cooking, and the hosts were waiting. Our diaries had said 7:30, but you know what London traffic's like, so we weren't too worried by 8 o'clock. It was a Friday evening, so we thought that the roads must have been very busy, when at 8:30 there was no sign of our guests. At 9 o'clock my wife became concerned for the food and we both became concerned for the guests. By 10 o'clock it was quite clear they weren't coming. Indeed, they never did come to that dinner party. Well, that's the kind of situation Jesus uses to describe how things are with God's kingdom in the third of our parables that we're looking at together these Tuesdays in June. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, page 990. If you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been studying some of these parables. And since chapter 21 and verse 23, Jesus has been in dialogue, conversation with the Jewish establishment of his day, the chief priests and the elders of the people. The climax has come in two parables from chapter 21, verse 28. About a vineyard. First the owner's sons and then the owner's tenants at Chateau Weinberg. Both, however, were told in order to come to the same conclusion, the same climax, to tell these Jewish leaders, to tell them that their place in God's kingdom is being given to some other people, given even to prostitutes and tax collectors. To tell these Jews that they will be barred from heaven. Jesus tells it in his own words in verse 43. "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." I think it's hard for us to grasp and capture something of the shock and the outrage of what Jesus is saying. Here are the clergy of the first century being told that all their church services have been a waste of time. Here are the bishops of the first century being told that all their leadership has been up the pole. Here are the senior laity of the first century being told that they might as well not have bothered for all the good it's doing them. They will not be going to heaven. But why not? What had they done wrong? What was their big mistake? Well, our parable in chapter 22 provides the answer, and does so by telling of two big mistakes that these first century Jews were making. Two big mistakes that many 20th century people make today. So let's look at them together. First, the wedding invitation refused. The wedding invitation refused, and that's verses 1 to 10. A king, in verse 2, has prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Apparently it was the groom's father who picked up the bill for wedding celebrations in those days. Verse 3 tells us how the king requested the pleasure of the company of whoever at a banquet to celebrate the marriage of his son. Verse 3, he sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. The king, you'll notice, has given a prior invitation and then a present notice. So verse 3, the servants go to those already invited. A prior invitation has been made to them. They already know of the son's engagement. They already know that there would be a wedding. They already know that they're on the guest list. The wedding banquet had been in their forward planner for some time. They'd given the indication that they'd come. You see, it'd be a bit like me saying that I'm having a great party here next weekend. Please come. You're all invited. You will come, won't you? You say yes. And I just say, well, I'll let you know later in the week exactly the time. The prior invitations had been received, and so all that happens in verse 3 is the servants go and let the people know that the tables have been laid. The claret is open breathing, and the orchestra just tuning up. It's time to come, verse 4. Well, actually, in Jesus' language, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted calf have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Well, the king in parable, you don't need me probably to tell you, is God. Verse 43 of the previous chapter, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom over which God is king. The Son? Well, it's his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the idea of a banquet to symbolise God's heaven, the kingdom of heaven, well, that would have been familiar to Jews. For the prophets had foretold of the Messiah coming, the Christ coming, and bringing a banquet for his people. So don't turn to it, but Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. And the prophets had told the Jews to look forward to the Messiah coming and bringing a banquet. The Jews, they'd been given a prior invitation. Ever since God had called them to be his people at Mount Sinai. And now they're being told to come. The banquet is ready. They're being told to take their place. The heralded Messiah has come, and they should accept him. We saw last week that John the Baptist was the final servant that God had sent. He told them that Jesus was here, told them that they should repent and believe, because that's the first part of how you come to the banquet, to repent and believe, which means just to accept Jesus. But this parable is told to tell us that this invitation is refused. Remarkable as it seems, the invitation to God's heaven is turned down. The whole point of being a Jew was to come to the Messianic banquet, was to accept Jesus as the king, but that offer is now being spurned. The invitation refused. And verses 5 and 6 show the manner in which the refusal comes. First, there's apathetic indifference. Verse 5, but they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. The invitation comes through the post. It's from the Queen. She's asking you to the royal garden party. But so preoccupied are you by the deal to be clinched in the city, the project to be finished at the bank, the transaction to be completed in the market, that the invitation just goes in the in tray, in the pending file, and is forgotten. That's apathetic indifference. And Jesus is saying that there are some Jews who are just ignoring Jesus, carrying on with the routine of life. Here it's in agriculture and commerce, as if the invitation had never come. You see, some refuse the invitation by apathetic indifference, by ignoring it. Others refused the invitation in open hostility, verse 6. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. You can't really reject an invitation much more than verse 6, can you? In the Old Testament, well, the prophets had been killed. And in Matthew's Gospel, the last prophet, John, had been beheaded. Now, for some, mention of Jesus, talk of his claims, speak of heaven and hell, well, brings a torrent of abuse, brings an angry outburst, brings an unreasoned and unreasonable attack. You see, our passage here is sandwiched between Jews in open hostility to Jesus. Say verse 45 of the chapter before, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them, they looked for a way to arrest him. Or the very next verse after our parable, verse 15, then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus. Open hostility. And Jesus in parable language goes on and shows it matters. He shows its consequences. First, he shows rejectors received judgment, verse 7. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burnt their city. Many commentators see this as a prophecy of what will happen in Jerusalem in only 40 years after Jesus is speaking. For in AD 70, the Romans ransacked Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands were literally slaughtered. The temple was destroyed. It may be prophetic. It may be just parabolic. That is, those who reject Jesus will receive an awful punishment by God. Or whichever. The second consequence is certainly clear. The invitation then goes to others. Verse 8. Then he said to the servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited do not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. And that's the consistent message Jesus, in the context, has been speaking as he warns these Jewish hearers. Their seats at the banquet will be taken. The food won't go to waste. The wine won't be left undrunk. God just invites others into his heaven. In the context of Matthew, it's the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the outcasts of Israel. In history, of course, it's been Gentiles, you and me. And it doesn't matter, notice verse 10, what we've done. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter if we've been religious or not. The invitation has now come to us, and what we have to do is accept. We have to turn up by accepting what the servant John said, that is, by repenting towards God and believing and trusting Jesus. Let me ask the question, have you done that? Because to refuse the invitation means it's taken to others. And as it's taken to others, mean those who refuse remain outside the banquet, outside the kingdom of heaven. The invitation refused. And sadly, what the Jewish leaders of the first century did is what so many ordinary people of the 20th century do. The apathetic indifference. That is, to pay no attention. Perhaps they've been asked to come, told to turn up. And yet they think business, career, or job is more important. They somehow think heaven's irrelevant, Jesus is irrelevant. Or they think they can reply later. It's strange, isn't it? We wouldn't do that to the Queen, and yet people think that they can treat the living God that way. A God who's an awesome king, but a God who, out of no merit of ourselves, invites us to share in his banquet of heaven. And people are apathetically indifferent to that. What could be more important that can make people apathetic to Jesus? Money, career, family, hobby? It's almost incomprehensible. You see, imagine you were one of those who was picked to play next Sunday against the All Blacks. Imagine you were lucky enough to be in the team. Well, imagine then next Sunday morning, if as the team gathers for their final practice, their team talk, Jack Rowell, the manager, discovers that you're not there. Where's Tom Smith, he says. Oh, the others say, oh, I think he's gone fishing. What do you think Jack Rowe would say as he finds you by the river with your rod in the water? Let me say, it's an unbelievable privilege to have been selected for God's team, to have been invited to his heaven. No England player next Sunday will be apathetically indifferent. How is it that we could be? Apathetic indifference. And others reject in open hostility. We've probably all seen it, haven't we? The sneer as people know we're coming on a Tuesday. The crossword when we invite them to come on a Tuesday. We had some supper parties recently from our Sunday evening congregation with students and young professionals. A dinner and then a short talk explaining the gospel afterwards. One student went literally red with anger as he heard the claims of Christ. Stormed out at the end of the evening saying they never wanted to hear anything to do with Christianity again. Open hostility. Oh, the invitation refused. It may be done in politeness or rudeness. It may be done in kindness or hostility, but rejection nonetheless, with dire consequences for those who refuse. But the parable doesn't end there. The wedding hall is full of guests, and just when you'd expect the story to end, Jesus adds more. You see, there's another reason why people don't get into heaven. Not just because of the invitation refused, but secondly, because of the dress code ignored. The dress code ignored. People have found their places on the table plan and are now seated at the banquet. They stand up as the host arrives and as the host prepares to meet them. But there are gasps as the host's eyes focus on one person present at the banquet. Heads turn, heads shake. Someone is at the banquet improperly dressed. So, verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed that one of them was there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And so the king asked the question, "Friend, how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" And the man is speechless. Well, what would you expect then to happen? What should happen at this point? I remember some years back a vicar inviting me to consider becoming his curate. He told me that he was down in London and suggested that we meet for lunch to chat things through. And we agreed that we'd meet outside a tube station, and he said that we'd then go and find a place for a snack. Well, it was a hot, sunny day, and I wore a shirt and tie, smart trousers, black shoes. When we met, he told me that we were going to his club for lunch. And as we went through the revolving doors of his club, the porter approached me and said, "May I lend Sir a jacket?" And it was quite clear that this was a statement of intent rather than a polite request. Well, what happens in verse 13? Does the porter nip out to find a spare jacket? Is the guest told to run to M&S and buy off the peg? Does someone ring up Moss Bros and tell them to deliver a morning suit? No, verse 13 is much more striking than that. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." At first reading, that sounds outrageous, doesn't it? You see, if you turn up to a wedding in T-shirt and shorts, well, the ushers might not let you in. If you turn up to a Buckingham Palace garden party in jeans and flip-flops, the gate man might not let you in, but he won't execute you. Well, Jesus is making a serious point. He's saying that those who aren't wearing the right dress clothes will not enter the banquet. Those not wearing the right dress spiritually will not enter heaven. Worse, verse 13, the language Jesus has kept using here in verse 13 is the language that he's used elsewhere in Matthew to describe hell. This place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, it's come twice already in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 42, chapter 13, verse 49. This is where the unrighteous go. This is where the wicked go, consigned to hell. And so when you read verse 13, you still have to ask, isn't this a bit over the top? Yeah, after all, the man did come to the banquet. Isn't the king's treatment too harsh? Does he deserve the same fate as those who reject the invitation outright? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, he does. And Jesus' hearers and Matthew's first readers would know that. You see, this king's action, God's behavior, is based on Old Testament teaching. You see, when the invitation first went out to the Jews, it not only had RSVP at the bottom, it also had the required dress code at the bottom. The invitation told people what to wear. It was made clear how people were to be attired to enter God's presence, to enter his heaven. And the right clothes? Righteousness. The right clothes? Holiness. The right clothes? Perfection. And anything other than that, and you would be barred from the kingdom, barred from heaven. Well, the Jews should have known that. But further, they should have known that no one possessed those clothes. No one had got the right clothes. No one had lived as God required. You see, the prophets kept saying that. Just turn for one cross-reference back to the book of Isaiah and chapter 64. That's on page 750. Isaiah chapter 64. You see, this is what Isaiah had said about the people. Verse 6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts, that's the best we can do, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and are like the wind. Our sins sweep us away. The king knows that we have to wear the right clothes. The king knows that no one's got the right clothes. But Isaiah also said that the king, in his goodness, will provide clothes for us. He would provide the clothes that we couldn't provide ourselves. That is, the wedding clothes will be provided for us. So to turn up to the banquet in the wrong clothes is unforgivable. To turn up in the wrong clothes is to fail to have read the invitation. The invitation the Old Testament made. In other words, it's to spurn God's provision of the right clothes. It's to arrogantly think that they were good enough for God as they were and didn't need the right clothes. It's therefore to think they weren't all that sinful. And no wonder this guest is thrown out. No wonder that first century Jews are being excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Their mistake is they think they're good enough. And yet the very invitation that they'd had said they were not good enough and needed to rely on what God would provide. Oh, it's right that they're thrown out. And it's their own fault. The dress code ignored. But the culpable mistake made by these religious Jews is a mistake people make today. You see, people think today that they'll be able to enter heaven. They think they'll be able to come into God's presence, somehow trusting in their own goodness, in their own clothes, as it were. Yet all kinds of people think that they'll be able to find their way into heaven on some other basis than the one that God says. That somehow they'll do. But let me ask, if it were possible for people to get in with any clothes other than the ones God provides in Christ, then God wouldn't have had to have given us clothes from his own wardrobe. If it were possible to enter heaven any other way, would God have paid the price of his son on a cross to make these clothes available to us? Yet imagine you were to die tonight. Imagine you were to die tonight and were not a Christian. Imagine you were at the gates of heaven or at the front door of the party in this illustration. And God were to say to you, why should I let you in? What are you doing in those filthy, spiritual, dirty rags? Why haven't you put on the clothes I was willing to provide for you through the Lord Jesus? Why? And you were to respond, well, I lived a good life. I wasn't that bad. I didn't think it really mattered all that much. do you think God would say in reply? I think something like, "You blithering idiot. You think it didn't matter? What do you think I am, that I'd let my son die on a cross if there was any other way to enter heaven? Do you not think I'd have thought of it if there was any other way? You fool!" You see, God tells us the only acceptable dress code: perfection. God tells us that our present clothes, that sinful rebellion against him, that will not do. God tells us that he is willing and wants to provide a brand new set of clothes for us. He's willing to clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. God tells us to put them on, to come to his banquet, and to put them on again by repentance and faith, turning round to God's Son Jesus, submitting our lives to him as King, and trusting his death on a cross. You see, it's not just enough to want to come to the banquet. It's not enough just to say yes to the invitation. Yes, we have to do that. But lots of people want to go to heaven. We have to want to go. We have to say yes to the invitation. But we also have to put on the clothes God gives and humbly admit that we're entirely dependent on him to give us the clothes we need. That we have no righteousness of our own. We are rebels. And we need that of Christ. First century Jews were missing the kingdom of heaven. That's the shock. And were missing it because they refused the invitation God issued. They were missing the kingdom of heaven because they ignored the dress code God requires. And it would be a good thing for us to ask today whether we're making those same mistakes. And perhaps let me say that if today or recently you have accepted the invitation and you've put on the clothes, maybe you've done that in the last few weeks, and you've not told anyone you've done that, well, do come and tell me afterwards, because then we can give you some more help and information about how to live the Christian life. Missing the kingdom of heaven by refusing the invitation God issues, by ignoring the dress code God requires. Well, let's pray God will help us from making those mistakes. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you that in your goodness you invite us to the banquet. We want to praise you that in your goodness you provide the clothes for us so that we can come to the banquet. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would guard us from being those who reject your invitation. We pray that you'd help us from being those who ignore your dress code. Heavenly Father, in your goodness, give us grace and mercy so that we today may say yes to the invitation you issue, and we may put on the dress that you provide. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.